Okay, one of the things that came up in Shir that some of the Chevra wanted to discuss was why do we light the menorah in Shul? What's going on with the public menorah lighting? So, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tafresh Ayin Aleph Siv Zayin says to be light in Shul with brachos for Pursumei Nisa, and the Rama adds that the one who lit the menorah in Shul did not fulfill his own personal obligation. He was not Yotzei Dei Chovaso to light the menorah, and he must do so at home as well. The Mishnah Berurah there in Sifkata Memhei notes that the one who lit in Shul, again if it's the first night, so he's not just saying the two brachos, Lahadlik Ner and Sha'asan Isim, but he's also saying the Bircha Shechianu, should not repeat the Shechianu when he gets home unless he's being motzi someone else. He can't say that bracha more than once. However, the Shari Tshuva does note that if he lit at home and is then going to Shul and he happens to be the one lighting in Shul, so then he would repeat the Birchas Shehechianu. So again, really quick, Pursumei Nisa is the reason we light in Shul according to the Shulchan Aruch. Tafresh Ayin Aleph Seif Zayin. And the Ramah says that even though you're lighting in Shul, that's not you're not Yotzei your own Chiyuv. We'll come back to that point in a second, but first let's discuss the primary question, which is why do we light the menorah at all in Shul? So the Rivash has a tshuva in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph. And the purpose of Halakas Ner Chanukah in a shul and a Beis Knesset was instituted to fulfill the mitzvah of Pursumei Nisa Bishas Hasakana. We couldn't be lighting in the most ideal fashion, which is Al Pesach Habayas Mibachutz, lighting outside like they do in Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't seemingly light even in the windows. It had to be mamish inside where no one can see because there's mamish Hasakana. You couldn't have, they were living amongst non-Jews, and it would have been a big problem if they saw the lights. So they began lighting inside. Since they were lighting inside, so there was a giant, you know, chisaron, there was a significant void in their midst of Pursumei Nisa. So they instituted lighting in shuls, because that was the most effective way of being Mekayim Pursumei Nisa of the Ner Chanukah, the best way to publicize the miracle. So much so that the Rivash passed in that you should make a bracha on it, even though, again, even though nobody is fulfilling their own chiyuv hadlaka, right? That's a very important yesod that we keep coming back to. No one is being mekayim their own chiyuv hadlaka, but since the hadlaka, the lighting of these candles in shul, is being mekayim, it's fulfilling Pursumei Nisa, it's publicizing the mitzvah in publicizing the miracle in the greatest way. So there would be a bracha on that, and that's reiterated by a number of poskim. Rav Avadya Yosef does note that if you light in shul, you should for sure make the bracha when lighting at home, because that's the hadlaka that you are Yotzei Yedei Chavaso on. Again, so we're seeing this come up again, that since you're not fulfilling your own personal obligation, you have to make sure you're lighting at home with brachos, because that is going to be your own personal hadlakas nira. So again, reason number one for lighting in shul is Shpitz Pursumei Nisa, the greatest way of fulfilling Pursumei Nisa. The Beis Yosef in Siman Tafresh Ayin Aleph notes that we light in shul to be motzi the guests who would sleep in shul and who did not have homes to be lighting in on their own. They were sleeping in the shuls. They didn't have a place to stay on their own. They slept in the shul. And because of that, we light the menorah in shul. That's reason number two. The Kobo also notes, and this is kind of a funny reason, I heard this from Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, that it's more of like a practice run on the brachos so that we don't mess up when we get home. Right, it's almost similar or akin to the Shliach Tzibor silent Shemona Esrei. However, Rabbi Leibowitz noted that this is kind of difficult because, first of all, you know, why would we light the last 7 days of Chag in Shul? You know, you got your first practice run in, you're good to go. Also, there's only one person making the bracha in Shul, so it's hard to say it's a practice run for everybody else. I guess you can say we hear it, but okay. And but probably more importantly, we don't do this by any other mitzvah. Why do we have like warm-up mitzvahs? We don't have practice runs. So that was a little bit of an interesting reason, but that's reason number three. So again, first of all, Pursumei Nisa. Number two, guests. Number three, the practice run. Number four is that perhaps it's for the people who either don't know or they don't care, meaning they're not going to be Mekayim the mitzvah anyway. So to at least have the lights there, maybe they see it, is a way to be Mekayim. The Pursumei Nisa in a way, but at least for them to connect to the mitzvah. And lastly, the notion that it's Zecher Hadlakas HaMenorah in the Beis HaMikdash. We light a menorah in our shuls because they are Batei Mikdash Ma'at, where the shul, Beis Knesset, is referred to as a Mikdash Ma'at, and because of that, we light in shul as well. There is a discussion a little bit about making a bracha on HaMinhag. This seems to be a minhag to light in shuls. But we know that we obviously do make a bracha on the Hadlakas Ner Chanukah in a shul. And that's because, it says the Rav Yaakov Emden, that's because that the bracha of Ner Chanukah is part of the Persumei Nisa. To say not just the Halak Ner Shel Chanukah, but She'asa Nisim Lavasinu Bayamim Hahim Bazman Hazeh, that's a chilek of the Persumei Nisa. It's almost like a Birchas Mitzvah, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch, when discussing Ner Chanukah, is Malikin Umevarchin, meaning the bracha itself is very much connected to the Hadlaka, which Bechlal is all about the Halo Vehoda on Chanukah. Just one point about the Neros in the Shul, one more Nakuda. So Rav Avadji Yosef has a footnote in a tshuva. Again, this is in Chilek Dalid, Simen Lamed Ches, if anybody ever wants to look that up, volume 4, tshuva number 38, and it's in the footnote there where he discusses making a Birchas Haroe, right? The bracha, if you're not lighting, if one's not lighting their Chanukah, they can make a bracha upon seeing candles. If they haven't lit yet, if they're not going to be lighting yet, they don't have a house that they're staying at, they can make a Birchas Haroah. However, Rav Avadji notes that you may or may not, he goes through this discussion, but he discusses whether or not one can make a Birchas Haroah upon seeing the Neros in Shul. And part of his suffix, part of the reason why it's not so clear that one for sure can, is because no one is actually using those candles for themselves. Meaning those are candles of a minog, and they're not like the candles of which someone is actually being mekayim their own personal mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and therefore it might be, it's not so posh, it's not so clear that a person can make a Birchas Haroah on those candles. Okay, fine. But again, those are the five main shitas. Let's quickly review them so that we can, you know, make sure we don't forget them. Number one, Persumei Nisa. Number two, to be motzi the guests. Number three, it's like a practice run. Number four, it's for the people who don't know about it. And number five, it's a Zecher L'Mikdash. And then, of course, we know Halach L'mai, so we do make a bracha on lighting in shuls. Just maybe two last notes here. I saw in the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, it's a Mishnah Berurah that has a lot of contemporary Shalash and Chuvos and contemporary Piskei Halacha that discusses lighting at the Kotel. Does the Kotel have a status of a shul or not? And there are those who say that there are no machitzos really at the Kotel, and it really has a status of a Rosh Hasharabim, but since there are set minyanim there, it has the same status as a base Knesset because there are always minyanim going on there. And therefore, it has a chi of hadlaka at the Kotel. And I think that's where they quoted from Rosh Shlomo Zalman and some others that say there's a chi of hadlaka at the Kotel. So one last note, again, making sure we're all remembering what we're saying here. So we have, why do we lay menorah in shul? We spoke about just now, what about the Kotel? And lastly, we have extinguishing the flame before 30 minutes pass. We know, generally speaking, our candles have to stay lit for at least 30 minutes. But what happens when you light in shul? Meaning, if you're leaving shul, everyone's going home after Marv, you let them blow the candles out. So, there are those who assume that we light in shul for a Zecher L'Mikdash, right? That was the last reason we quoted, that was reason number 5. And if that's the case, the menorah should not be extinguished before 30 minutes. However, if you assume that the reason we light in shul is for greater Persumei Nisa, well, if everyone's leaving, so then you'd be allowed to put out the flames. And the Beis Hora I saw from the Agudim in the Midwest noted the Shailas and Tshuvas Melami Lehoel, who paskins Lekula, who comes out with a more lenient psak, who says that you're allowed to blow the candles out after, you know, before 30 minutes pass. Others maintain the candles should be lit for 30 minutes, but they said for sure if everyone's leaving and there's going to be a safety concern, then for sure you can of course extinguish the flames.